The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Bless you, Tracy, and bless us.
Thank you, Alan, for leading us in worship and beautiful sense of the love of God in this place this morning. Do you sense it? There's a love coming from God to you, to me, because we're gathered as his people. And I'm going to take you to Ephesians 6 again, our verse for the year. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And over several weeks and months, we're going to be looking at 8 verses in Ephesians. We've been looking at it for 4 verses, and perhaps this morning you're thinking, Alistair, why are you spending so much time on this? Why are you making such a big thing of this? Christ has died on the cross. He's defeated the devil. Isn't all things well? We just put on the armor and get on with it. Why spend so much time? Well, the Apostle Paul, spending a lot of time explaining to us that we are in great danger as Christians. And as your pastor, I can see it every week. I can see the wolf at work disturbing the flock, picking off the weak ones. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Is the Lord your shepherd this morning? Think of Jesus. Think of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I love you, I laid down my life for you. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? His sheep know his voice. Do you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus regularly? When the wolf comes, do you recognize him? How quickly do you recognize him? And I would be a unloving pastor if I just gave you superficial messages that didn't help you when the wolf comes, because the wolf is coming. And you know the thing that worries me the most, or concerns me the most, it's that the wolf is coming for some people and you have no protection. No protection whatsoever, because the Lord is not your shepherd. Even this passage that I'm preaching this morning is for the people who know the Lord is their shepherd. But if the Lord is not your shepherd, you have no protection when the wolf comes. And that really distresses me. that you may be getting into all kinds of mental torment, doubts, being led into all kinds of wrong places. And I want to come to you and I want to say, put on the armor of God. I want to come to you and say, read Pilgrim's Progress. But the problem is that the armor of God is for the person who knows that the Lord is his shepherd. Pilgrim's Progress is for the pilgrim. And if you are not yet a believer in the Lord, this passage shows you the protection you can have. But it doesn't give you the protection today. The only protection comes when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive his forgiveness, when your sins are covered by his blood, when your future is secured by his resurrection. And if you don't know that, when the devil comes, you have nothing to say to him. In fact, the devil will probably just leave you alone. Because his objective is to stop us from worshiping God. His objective is to stop us from living for God, from living to the glory of God. His objective is to stop us becoming more like God. But if you're not interested in that anyway, he'll probably just leave you alone. So my greatest burden this morning is, if the Lord is not your shepherd, you need to understand the danger that you're in. You need to wake up, because the time is short. Okay, you might be thinking, he's gone over the top again. You know, he's gone way over the top. He's speaking about the devil, speaking about evil. You know, surely, you know, it's not as bad as all that. I came to church this morning to be cheered up, and he's going on about the devil. Okay, what was in the news this week? Auschwitz. How many millions of Jews were killed in the Second World War? God's chosen people exterminated. 6 million of them. One of the Jews, Viktor Frankl, he wrote a book. He was a psychologist, neurologist. 9 million copies sold. What was his main point? His main point is that we need to have meaning in life. And if we have meaning and purpose in life, we can endure almost anything if we have meaning and purpose in life. He was in Auschwitz as a prisoner. But this is also what he said. He said, I am absolutely convinced the gas chambers of Auschwitz were ultimately prepared not in some Nazi ministry in Berlin, but rather at the desks and in the lecture halls of the nihilistic scientists and philosophers. He said that he's absolutely convinced that the gas chambers which killed so many Jews were ultimately prepared not in some Nazi sort of meeting, but were prepared in the lecture halls, in the philosophies of philosophers who believed that God was dead and that you can treat, that God was dead, nihilistic philosophers. So why is that important? That's important because it's telling us that ideas have consequences. How we think affects how we behave. What we think about affects what we do. And the Bible tells us that we need to know the shepherd's voice, because there's another voice, the voice of a deceiving spirit. Do you think that all these millions of Jews, was it just some kind of random event? Or was it a strategy? Was it a strategy that was sown into the mind of man by someone who really hated Jews? Hated them. Hate God, hate God's people. Who hates God and who hates God's people? The devil. Auschwitz was designed by the devil. Auschwitz was sown first into the philosophies of the universities. And then it was sown into the mind of Adolf Hitler. So that's the relevance, folks, is that all transgressions begin in the mind. What makes human beings special? What makes us different from every other created being? We're made in the image of God. We have a capacity to think like none of the animals. We have the potential to think God's thoughts after Him. So that is the area of primary attack. Jesus Himself said that it starts in the heart, or the heart being the in the Jewish thinking, the place of our thinking. Adultery. What is adultery? It's sleeping with someone that's not your wife or your husband. The Bible says that sex is for marriage between one man and one woman. Isn't there so much confusion in society and in the church today about that one? Where's the confusion coming from? It's coming from the devil. But what did Jesus say? He said that it's not just sleeping with someone. It begins in the thoughts. When it's about murdering someone, it's not just the physical act of murder. It's the hatred that starts here. So how's your thought life this week? Is it protected? Are you alert? Are you on guard? Are you careful what you're reading, what you're watching? Are you just sucking in whatever people say, or are you weighing and testing it? The Apostle Paul says that we need to take every thought captive. What he's saying is that not every thought that goes into our mind is good and wholesome. We need to focus on that which is good, which is noble, which is praiseworthy. We need to reject lies. We need to pray that in the morning that we will have discernment to spot the lies when it comes. Don't believe everything you read in the newspaper. Don't believe everything you see on the internet, even if it's got the word Christian in it, even if it's got the word evangelical in it. Because even Christians get deceived. Be discerning. So as we look at this passage this morning, it's very important that we, as Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. When he came under attack, he went back to the Bible. So I want to model that this morning by sticking to God's word. So this passage here has two things for us to do in Christian warfare: to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and to put on the full armor of God. I've done four sermons on this already. Listen to the talks. But why do we do that? So that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. It's in yellow. So that we can stand our ground. So that we can stand firm then. Do you think the Apostle Paul is trying to get a point here? Four times. We need to hold our position. It's not for us to win the victory over evil. Christ has already won the victory over evil. He's already paid for our sins. He's already erased the charge sheet against us. He's already secured the future, the new heavens and the new earth. But today he asks us to stand our ground. Pilgrim's Progress, I was reading it just a couple of nights ago. And it's a wonderful, wonderful old book. It's the second best-selling book after the Bible. Alistair, I'm not going to read that. It's probably from the 16th century or something. All these and thous. Okay, there's a DVD, and it's coming out next month. Watch the DVD. Maybe we'll watch it as a church. Read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. The difference between Pilgrim's Progress and Screwtape Letters is that although C.S. Lewis does a great analysis of the schemes of the devil, he doesn't tell us to get into God's word enough. But Pilgrim's Progress is full of scripture. Okay, I'm quite excited about Pilgrim's Progress. Back to the sermon. We have to know the schemes of the enemy. We have to know how to fight. We need to watch and pray. Do you know your enemy? Well, if you think of the 1930s, it was Winston Churchill who was warning against Adolf Hitler. And people thought he was a maverick. People thought he was someone not to take seriously. And even when Neville Chamberlain came back with his exclusive peace deal between Britain and the Nazis, peace in our time, it was only a few days later when Neville Chamberlain had to resign. And you know the story of Dunkirk, when Winston Churchill was under tremendous pressure in that 24-hour period to surrender to the Nazis, and he would not give in. In the film, The Darkest Hour, I don't know if Winston Churchill said this, but it was a very entertaining scene when the foreign secretary is saying, you need to make peace terms. And he says, you do not negotiate with a tiger when your head is in its mouth. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that the devil is like a roaring lion. We don't negotiate with him. We don't rationalize with him. We don't try and enter into some kind of debate with him. So what do we do? Well, first of all, we need to know his predictable strategies. And the good news this morning, folks, is that he is very predictable. Why doesn't he just give up? He thinks he can still win. That's why he hasn't given up. Even after he tempted the Son of God, Luke's gospel tells us that he left Jesus until an opportune time. He just doesn't give up. But the book of Revelation tells us that he will be thrown into the lake of fire, along with the false prophets. False prophet, singular, I think. So here are some of the schemes of the enemy. First of all, temptation. Very famous one is the temptation of Jesus, the Son of God, perfectly human, fully human, able to sin, but did not sin. And you know that in this reference in Corinthians, it says some helpful things about how to withstand temptation. But before that, it tells us something which should wake all of us up this morning. And it says, do not think that you cannot fall. Do not think that you cannot fall. I'm going to read the exact verse because I cannot remember it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I don't know what proportion of the church that speaks to this morning, but probably quite a lot of people think, well, this would be a great sermon for this one over here and this one over here, and maybe for some people in my family, but we don't actually think it's a sermon for us because we think that we're not going to fall. Do you think King David? Do you think he thought he was going to fall? No, he didn't. When the kings went off, when the generals went off to war, he stayed behind. When he counted his army, it was after a time of great success. If you've had a time of great success in ministry, that's the time when you need to be especially vigilant. In a fruitful time. And if God has given us a fruitful 2019, let's be especially vigilant in 2020. That's true, isn't it? God's given us a fruitful 2019. So let's be careful. Let's not think that through pride or whatever, we cannot fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Isn't that good news this morning? He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will show you a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. So if you are in that period of temptation, doubts, assailed with doubts, and a Christian gives you a scripture which is the truth and gives you the way out, you have a choice to trust in that scripture or to rely on your feelings. Say, well, I hear the scripture, but actually I don't feel any better. God provides a way of escape. To be tempted with a sinful thought is not the same as falling into sin. I even get thoughts that come into my mind just before I preach. Do I think that's a sin? No, it's not. He's trying to put me off. And then he comes in and he accuses us and he says, oh, look what you thought. Look what you thought. You can't serve God if you think like that. But the thought's been planted there by the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ has paid for our sins on the cross. The charge sheet has been erased. We are declared not guilty. He accuses, but he will have no success if we stand on God's word. Deception. He's ever so subtle. He said that to the Corinthians. You're being deceived by Satan's cunning in the same way as Eve was deceived in the garden. What did Satan do in the garden? He said, did God really say that? Did God really say that? Did he really say that? He takes the truth, he twists it. What did he say to Jesus in the wilderness? He said, if you are the Son of God, three times, if you're the Son of God, he's insinuating doubt, deception. We'll even use scripture against us. That's why we need to be careful with websites. That's why we need to be careful even with theology. Intimidation. Sometimes it's just a full-on attack. And thankfully that doesn't happen too often. But it does happen. And you just know the presence of evil is there. But be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We have nothing to fear. This is a passage which is telling us if we depend on the Lord, if we have our lives rooted in Christ, in his word, in prayer, we have nothing to fear. But if we're complacent, we're going to get into all kinds of dangerous places. We need to watch out for imbalance. Now, some people are really into even the Bible, the truth of the Bible, but they're a bit sort of not so strong on the experience and not so good on applying it into daily life. So I was really blessed with someone this morning that had a conversation with me. I was talking about his week and was talking about kind things that he did, very simple things, and it was just helping to root me in the practicalities of life. We can get into the heady theology, but forget the practical application. We can get so imbalanced. Sometimes we can be so caught up with feelings that we don't emphasize the truth enough. That's how a lot of the cults work. They offer you, you know, just instant happiness. No repentance. No sense of needing to examine our lives for sin. Why did Jesus go to the cross if there is no sin problem? Watch out for teaching which seeks to bypass the realities of the Christian life, which is that we are in a spiritual battle, that we need to persevere to the end, and it is not easy. We're to go through the narrow gate because broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to life. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we are to... There's a lot of detail there, practical detail on how to live a holy life. To how to tell the truth, to be honest, to watch our speech, to forgive others, to watch anger. It's very, very practical conduct. And the devil would love us just to be obsessed with Bible study and forget the other two. As we know how to fight, the way that the passage works is, first of all, there's the big strategy. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The big strategy is that we need to be totally dependent on the Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. And I still believe the Lord has put in my heart this morning that there are some people who do not yet know the Lord. And my burden is that you will come and you will trust in him. And that you will not delay, and that you will realize that, look at your life. Are you living a good life? Are you living a life in obedience to what you have heard from Jesus? Is there any part of your life that is displeasing to God? Think about that now. Are there things that you need to confess? Do you need to come to God for forgiveness? Do you need to entrust your whole life to him? We need to fully, back to the Christian, we need to fully depend on the Lord. And then we need to know the tactics. And thankfully, we're doing this as a series. I don't need to go through it all this week, but you can see there's a Roman soldier there. There's six elements of the armor. We're going to go through them each week. And it's basically the whole Christian life summed up in a picture. So it's totally central to living a godly life in Christ Jesus. And as it was not easy for Jesus, it's not going to be easy for those who follow Jesus. And as Satan attacked Jesus, Satan's going to attack the followers of Jesus. It says that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to hold your position. What is the day of evil? The day of evil is, according to Ephesians 5, verse 16, the days of evil are the days we're living in now, Ephesians 5, 16. The day of evil, there's a number of views on this, but my view is that it is specific days when the satanic attack comes so clearly to you. Many singular evil days. We need to put on the whole armor of God, not just one part of it, but all of it. And how do we do that? We put each piece on with prayer. And that's my third and final point, is we need to be prayerful. You see, in verse 18, it says these words, after explaining tactically the different parts of the armor that we need to put on, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Being strong in the Lord and his mighty power, in verse 10, depending on the Lord, is in prayer, is in Bible meditation, getting the truth of God's word into our mind and into our heart. But it says here we need to be alert, like sentries guarding. We need to be guarding, on guard, not asleep at our post. In Matthew 26, Jesus said to Peter, said, stay awake, pray with me. And he fell asleep. He said, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. And of course, Peter got all intimidated. He got all fearful, and isn't the work of the devil to make us fearful? And he denied Jesus three times, but praise God, in his letter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says these words, your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you. Be alert. Be self-controlled. Resist him. We can resist him by submitting to God's word, by taking every thought captive, by using the armor that God has given us. And a wonderful verse. I know that to share our faith is one of the most important things we can do. The good news of peace. Peter, the timid one, Peter, the frightened one, he says, set apart Christ as Lord. Same principle. Set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. This is what this is about this morning. Being ready, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, Peter, who fell asleep, says to us, be awake, be alert, always be prepared. And he testified fruitfully. So in conclusion, don't be surprised. Don't be like the French generals in the Second World War who didn't believe the reports that the Nazis were coming through the south of Germany and the Blitzkrieg happened within a week. Pretty much Western Europe fell to the Nazis because they were surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant of the devil's schemes. Don't be complacent. Don't think that you can't fall. Don't be passive. Don't think it, you know, just look to Jesus and everything will be fine. You need to take the Bible and meditate on it. You need to pray it. You need to apply it. You need to obey it. Don't be deceived. Weigh and test. Especially the internet. I said that 3 times. But most important of all, do not be afraid. How many times in Scripture is the word, do not be afraid? Somebody told me it was 365 times. I've not counted that, but it sounds about right to me. But a lot of times, do not be afraid. And why are we not to be afraid? Because we are strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is a triumphant end to the letter. This is a triumphant message because Christ has defeated the devil. He's paid for our sins. And if we are afraid, then we are deceived. If we follow the captain's instructions, we will not be afraid. We will have joy. We will have peace. We will have fruitfulness in our lives. But let us not make the biggest mistake of all, which is to lean on our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And for the first time today, some of you, I know, are so close to becoming a Christian. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And you need to believe that if you confess your sins, he is faithful, he is just, he will forgive your sins, he will purify you from all unrighteousness. And it doesn't matter a jot how you feel about it, because the truth is, he has paid for it all. And you need to believe that, and you need to live in the truth of that. And Jesus says that those who come to me, I will not cast out. You need to believe that if you come to him, he is with you. And if you're feeling discouraged and all of that, then it's because the devil is after you. But God will enable you to prevail. So hang on, persevere, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you will see the light and the life. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word. Help us to hold on to it. Help us to believe it. And help us as we leave this place today. To live a life which is pleasing to you. Help us as we leave this place today to live a life that's glorifying to you. Lord, we need your power. Thank you for the incomparably great power which is available to us to believe. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your truth. And give us the courage to live a life like Jesus lived. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.